This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville, Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, Area Diesel Service of Carlinville, and M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And now, with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now here in Ag News on a Thursday afternoon. U.S. Trade Ambassador Catherine Tai pushed back on Republican claims Wednesday that new trade deals are on the back burner in the Biden administration. Challenged by top finance Republican Mike Crapo to show the Biden trade agenda is not putting deals with the U.K. and Kenya on the back burner, Tai stated this.
It should be clear that trade is not on the back burner. For your question specifically on the UK and Kenya, I think it was in my first 2 weeks on the job that I've had conversations with my counterparts in both countries.
But Tai described only a review of how those talks can meet Biden's Build Back Better goals after first getting through the pandemic, while not answering if the White House would seek to extend fast-track power to speed a UK deal through Congress. She had this to say on China and whether they will be continuing some of the $370 billion in Trump tariffs on Chinese goods that have hurt U.S. industry, including agriculture.
We are
setting up a new exclusion process.
The top-to-bottom review on China at USTR, and the tariffs and the exclusion process will be a critical component of that review, through which we will be soliciting robust feedback from the public, from Congress.
And on USMCA.
I will enforce the new standards, follow through on our commitments, and use the agreement to ensure that Canada and Mexico do too.
Including to deal with Mexico's bans or those pending on GMO corn and glyphosate. Tai also announced the U.S. has triggered a USMCA review by Mexico of a crackdown on labor organizing at a General Motors factory. In other national ag news, yesterday, Wednesday, the Department of Agriculture released its latest World Ag Supply and Demand Report. USDA says the corn crop is projected at 15 million bushels, up from last year on higher acreage planted and to a return of trendline yield. The yield projection this fall is 179.5 bushel per acre, based upon weather-adjusted trends, assuming a normal planting progress and normal summertime weather. The season average corn price received by producers is projected to be $5.70 a bushel, up $1.35 from last year, when much of the crop was marketed at a lower price. The soybean crop is projected at 4.4 billion bushel, up 270 million from last year on increased harvested area and trendline yield. With lower beginning stocks, soybean supplies are projected to be down 3%. The season average soybean price is projected at $13.85 a bushel, up $2.60 from last year. The outlook for U.S. wheat is for smaller supply, higher domestic usage, lower exports, and reduced stocks, and a season average farm price at $6.50 per bushel. And while the USDA released its World Ag Supply and Demand estimates yesterday, predicting lower old crop corn ending stocks and that the tighter soybean supply will continue into the new marketing year, that had Mike Zazulo with Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas, saying it looks like the USDA will be predicting a rebound in domestic and international soybean stocks into the new marketing year.
It's really important to notice that the soybean ending stocks globally, they suggest are going to move up from about 86.5 million tons up to over 91 million tons. Now, we're going to have a lot more demand underneath us than we did 2 years ago, but we're getting back to levels that we hadn't seen in a couple years. And so when you look at the front-end bean prices near $17, you see brand-new record highs in the Malaysian palm oil market, and that has stimulated fresh record highs in the soybean oil market. I think in context of where we're at in price, this does look like a report that did not feed the bull in terms of a tighter South American supply, keeping demand under tow and keep it rationed until we get further down the line.
The corn numbers seem to indicate higher export business for the United States during the new marketing year.
we got confirmation from USDA that while the Brazilian soybean crop is unchanged versus last month and a massive 136 million tons, the USDA came in and slashed the Brazilian corn crop finally from 109 to 102. That is a big number. That's 7 million tons of extra supply that they were supposed to have is probably almost all going to come over into the United States in terms of exportable supplies and demand that we will pick up.
Corn must contend with the wheat harvest to lead the market to the upside.
USDA's numbers suggest, and I think rightfully so, a real shift from livestock feeders away from corn and towards the wheat to the point where it really does disrupt the domestic usage of the corn. So it's not like we're going to have excess supplies because we're going to pick up extra export business, I think. But if the wheat would happen to have any yield issues in the soft red or hard red crop, and if we continue to have issues on the weather front in the northern plains for the spring wheat crop and part of the hard red crop that is grown in the South Dakota region, then the wheat could actually become a fundamental support to the corn instead of a liability. And all of a sudden, the corn has to pick up feed demand that was supposed to go to the wheat. So this is something to watch here in the next 30 days because that wheat harvest is really drawing close.
Again, that was Mike Zazulo with Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News, we have your Illinois crop production estimates for the winter wheat harvest coming up here in June and July. Harvested area this year for wheat in Illinois is forecasted to be 650,000 acre, 130,000 acres more than last year. The winter wheat yield is forecasted to be 74 bushels per acre here in Illinois, 6 more bushels than last year, and production is forecasted to be 48.1 million bushels of wheat, 36% more than last year. In other Illinois state ag news, rain over the last weekend across Illinois has almost eliminated any shortage of moisture throughout the central part of the state. Coming into the winter and even spring, drought concerns were starting to creep in. But Chris Miller with the National Weather Service office in Lincoln points out the last weekend's rain capped off what has been a very wet spring.
To get this, you know, right around 2-inch rainfall in much of central Illinois didn't really do us a lot of favors. We're not, you know, granted, yeah, deep down below the soil is still a little bit dry, but you got to go a few feet down. Those top few inches are very wet. And in fact, I saw a lot of areas in central and eastern Illinois with standing water in fields, full ditches. So I think we've reached the point now where, you know, we're definitely not, we don't have any, moisture deficits in the soil, obviously. In fact, now we've switched the other way and we've got too much, mainly from this system that came through. But with dry weather expected most of the week, I know you mentioned, that a few spotty showers are possible late this afternoon. Most people aren't going to see anything out of those, just passing showers. But overall, a dry week until we get to late in the weekend. And so that's going to help, definitely going to help to be able to get back into the fields because right now things are just too muddy in most areas.
Anywhere from 1 to 2 inches of rain fell in most places of central Illinois over the last weekend, and the National Weather Service's website even had reports of 2+ inches in some places, especially north of I-72. Miller says this time next week we could see regular temperatures back in the low 70s and even approaching 80 degrees in southern parts of Illinois. In other related ag weather news, not only have we been dealing with excess rainfall this spring, it's been rather cold as well for this part of May, making concerns of frost and freeze. Wednesday morning was another frost advisory for counties to the north of us in Sangamon, Christian, and Shelby County. But how rare is it to see a freeze on May 12th?
It's somewhat unusual. It's certainly not unprecedented for that part of the state to see some low 30s. This time of year, it's certainly later than the normal time. I think that that area in the far northern part of Illinois probably typically sees their last 32-degree temperature right around the 1st of May, so it's coming a bit late, certainly not the latest of those occurrences we've ever seen before. But, with this cool air mass, we've seen quite a few mornings with freezing temperatures in the northern Midwest, the northern plains, and the Great Lakes. So it's kind of occurring with this cool Canadian air that came in behind the weekend system. So, again, coming later than normal, but not the latest ever and certainly not highly unusual, but certainly a little later than we'd like to see readings in the low 30s.
And that's Freeze Notice Ag meteorologist Dan Hicks. And he also agrees with Chris Miller at the National Weather Service office in Lincoln that warm temperatures should be with us come this time next week. Moving on now to local FFA news here on a Thursday. This past Tuesday night was the Section 19 FFA banquet, and there were several highlights for area chapters. For Nokomis, Ty Nodal completed his term as the Section 19 vice president, and Skylar Stewart was then elected as Section 19 sentinel. For Morrisonville, Ava Sachs was elected as Section 19 reporter. And for Hillsboro, Maria Hernandez retired as Section 19 treasurer, and Peyton Wilson was elected to serve as Section 19 secretary for the coming year. Also, awards were given out to Hillsboro members who won their respective proficiency areas at the sectional level, and those included Joey Kaiser in safety, Will Spicer in swine production placement, Nathan Brown in goat production, Emily Cushing in equine science placement, Ethan Blackburn in ag mechanics and design fabrication placement, Reese Morford in small animal production, and Levi Arkebauer in outdoor recreation. Also, Claire Tester and Will Spicer were honored for attaining their state degree, which they'll be receiving later on this summer at the state convention in Springfield. Moving on now to our Ag Community Bulletin Board for events around the area. Coming up tonight, the Macoupin County Farm Bureau Young Leaders and Young Farmers Committee will be holding their May meeting. Again, that'll be held tonight at the Farm Bureau office in Carlinville, starting at 7. In other Ag Bulletins, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau will be holding a defensive driving course for individuals 55 years and older who are a member of Country Financial Insurance. It'll be held on the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro on the Courthouse Square coming up Thursday, the 27th, from 8 till 4. Pre-registration is due by Monday, May 24th, to the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro, their number 532-6171, or to your local Country Financial representative here in Montgomery County. You must attend all day for the discount on your auto insurance, and the cost for Farm Bureau members is free. Non-member cost is $20. And one last final note here today. We've announced that May is Beef Month across the nation, and here at WSMI, we'll also be celebrating May Beef Month by giving away beef certificates to Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. They've been kindly donated to us from the Central Illinois Livestock Association. All you have to do is email us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com to enter to win. Put beef in the subject line of your email along with your name and phone number so we can contact you. This coming Friday, I'll pick two winners. Next Friday, the 21st, I'll pick one. And the following Friday, the 28th, I'll pick another winner. Perfect, just in time for Memorial Day weekend. Again, all you have to do to enter to win is email us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. Put beef in the subject line of your email, along with your name and phone number, so we know how to get in touch with you if you are picked as a winner. And that'll conclude your Ag News here on this Thursday afternoon. But remember, you can always send Ag News to us by an email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday afternoon, May 13th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.